Hear the words of the psalmist. May the words from my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. It's interesting as a preacher prepares, lots of things come into their lives and influence where they're headed, what they're going to share. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a phone call from a brother in Sydney to let me know that his wife had joined a cult. And in some senses, I'm not surprised. Over the years, she has searched, and I'm not sure what she's searching for. I know the answer's Jesus, but I don't know that she knows that, even though I've shared that with her. She has shared in tarot cards. She has a pack of cards with flowers that she interprets for other people of peace and harmony. She's been to Christian churches. She's been in other groups, but all have led to a hole in her life of searching. She's not at peace. I had a look at this group that she's joined, and they're into formation. Now, I'm not sure what that means yet. I haven't dug deep enough. But they're also into vibrations. I don't know what that means either. And they have little prayer groups. Now, my question to her when I have a chat is, prayer is a wonderful thing, but who do you pray to? I don't know. But I guarantee this, that she's never going to find peace and hope and faith through that group, through tarot cards, horoscopes, or anything else. She'll only find those things as she comes, bows her knee to Jesus Christ, and asks him to become her saviour. That's when that hole in her life will be filled. And perhaps in your prayer time, her name is Lynn. You might like to just add her to your prayer list, that somehow this will be maybe a final step of the journey that she's searching, and she'll come to know Jesus. The topic today, who or what do you put your faith in? Each and every day, we put our faith or our trust in something. And I wasn't sure whether I was going to trust you. I put my hand up, I thought he'd get wet. I haven't seen that before, it's a good trick. But we put our faith, and I thought Jack did pretty well. But we put our faith and our trust in lots of things. And I don't know about you, but when I come to an intersection, I'm trusting without thought that all the lights are synchronised. That I'm not going through the green and someone on my right's got green as well. On my right's got red. And I put my trust in that. I hop in my car every morning without even thinking. Turn the key and broom, off I go. It did happen recently that it didn't happen. No broom, no nothing. The battery was dead. We come into church, we sit in a chair, and we trust that it's not going to collapse. I don't think I've ever been in a church where someone's come in and the chair has collapsed. We'd probably all wonder what God's trying to say if that happened. We go to the doctor, we trust the doctor to diagnose and prescribe medications or treatment for whatever we have. We post our letters. And we trust Australia Post. My trust has been dented. I have to admit we posted our son a letter 6 weeks ago, and we received a phone call last week saying, hey, I got it. 6 weeks from here to Nan, Mount Barker in the Adelaide Hills. I could have walked in less time and delivered it, hand-delivered. But we pop it in the box and we trust We flip a light switch on and we just expect that it's going to happen. And every time we walk into a building, and especially a church, and I'm thinking, I've heard this many, many times over the years, of someone come back to the life of the church and having a chat with them up, and they say, boy, do I feel relieved the roof didn't fall in. You know, you hear it, it's a joke. But some people think, you know, if I came to church, the roof would fall in. I think God's rejoicing more that the person has come to church, let alone worrying about whether he's going to collapse the roof on them or not. So, you know, we do place our faith in architects and the workmen who constructed, you know, the building. I've never heard of it happening. But though all those things are in the, if I can say, the physical, in the human side. And then there's the spiritual side of us expressing our faith. Regardless of our backgrounds or educations, our social status or our talents, we express faith. The difference between our faith in worldly things and our faith in spiritual things is the object of our faith. And for us, the object of our faith is God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lovely song, that last song. I didn't know it. Did you know? Oh, okay, just me. But, you know, I'm not with it musically, so. But, you know, that's where our faith is, centered in Jesus Christ. Everyone puts faith in something. The Muslim puts his faith in the Quran and in Muhammad. The humans put their faith in themselves. The answer lies within me. Religious people put their faith in their good works. I want to say this very, very clearly this morning. If we will never find love, we'll never find joy, we'll never find peace, we'll never find salvation, we'll never find eternal life, if we go searching for in things like tarot cards, crystals, feng shui. Anyone heard of feng shui? I don't want to offend anyone, but a Chinese system. I'm not quite sure what to call it. If your bed's facing in the wrong way, you've got bad feng shui. If the colour of the wall's wrong, bad feng shui. Change it to blue and everything will be good. Horoscopes are the way to go. Wind chimes will bring health and prosperity. You know, that sort of thing. Bamboos are important. Horseshoes bring good luck. And they'll bring good health and prosperity. There's a problem in all of those systems. If we express our faith in any of them, none of them can save us. Because in each case, the object of our faith is wrong. Our faith is only as good as the object in which we place our faith in. We place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock, our Saviour, the one who died on the cross, the one who was raised from the dead, and the one who's coming again, the one who has prepared a place for us. And we'll talk in a moment from the scriptures about the things unseen. I believe with all my heart that Jesus has prepared a place called heaven, whatever that may be, but he's prepared a place for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And that when we die, that's not the end. There's eternal life that we will go and be with him for eternity in a place of peace and joy and worship and many, many other things. The Bible insists that we personally put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. Faith isn't trying to manipulate God. There's nothing, we can't do that. I hear so often, give to God and God will give back. And I want to say this. Over the years, we have given, we trust generously, and we have been blessed abundantly. But I can't ever remember that we've given $100 and got $200 back. We've been blessed in many other areas. So, you know, I don't go with the prosperity gospel of give and get, and usually get more than what you give. I don't go with that. That's not faith. Faith's not adhering to a set of beliefs. Paul says, if your beliefs are not founded on the right person, Jesus Christ, all the rules and doctrines are useless. Faith isn't a blind leap into darkness. God does not expect us to stand on a cliff and say, God, I believe you're going to save me as I jump. No. He expects us to use what he's given us in intelligence and make some wise decisions. We're not asked by God to be ignorant, but to live and act wisely in accordance to his word and the example of Jesus. Faith's not following the God of your choice, whoever, whatever that may be. Some would say, pick one of the many and you'll be all right. They all lead to God. And I have to be honest, most of you would know I'm a retired Uniting Church minister, absolutely blessed by being part of this congregation. But in some areas of the church, their teaching always lead to God. Doesn't matter whether it be Hinduism, Buddhism, the Quran, whatever, at the end you'll find God. I don't believe that. Jesus says very, very clearly, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. Very clear. So you're not going to find salvation, eternal life, love, joy, and peace through some of these other things. But get into the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform and change your life and your thinking, your mind, and you'll find those things. Remember that God says, and I'll just let you into this, don't tell Tony. When he rang me and said, will you preach? I said, yeah, sure, what's the date? And he said, will you preach on the Ten Commandments? And I said, oh, no. He said, don't you believe in the Ten Commandments? I said, oh, yes, Tony, I'm writing out 100 times every day, I shall not covet Tony's holidays. I shall not covet Tony's holidays. And I said, but no, I'm not going to preach on the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, God says, have no other gods before me. I'm your God. And the beautiful thing is, you are my people. Isn't that beautiful? That we are sons and daughters of God, the creator of the universe. Hear these words from Hebrews. Hebrews portrays what real biblical faith looks like. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Isn't that beautiful? God made. In the beginning, God created. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. And true faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of what may surround us, circumstances, consequences. And faith's described in a twofold way, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, if we knew all things, we don't need faith. If we know what the answers are, we don't need faith. But we come to God in faith, not knowing those things, trusting that he's going to lead us and guide us through them. There's a story told. I'm more and more aware of what we might call a generation gap. How many have heard of Hudson Taylor? Okay, a good half. Some of the younger people may not have. But he was a great missionary who went to China in the mid-80s, 1850s, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we heard this morning Maureen Mackenzie shared in the early service of the millions of Christians. It was millions, wasn't it? 300? I can't remember what it was, but it's mind-boggling of the number of Christians in China. And this guy was one of the first to go and share the gospel in a foreign land. And the story's told that the ship he was on was caught in a calm close to shore, and the island that they were near was inhabited by cannibals. And the closer they got, they could see the cannibals on the beach, and they were anticipating a good feed. And the captain came to Taylor and asked him to pray for help. Pray to God for help for us. So Taylor said, yes, I'll do that, provided you raise the sails on the ship. And the captain was reluctant, because if he put the sails up and no wind came, he was an absolute fool in front of his crew. And Taylor said, well, you put them up or I don't pray. So up went the sails. Taylor goes below deck and begins to pray to God for wind. Yes, Taylor says, and the captain sticks his head in. He says, are you still praying? And Taylor says, yes, I am. Well, you'd better stop praying. We've got more wind than we can handle. You see, that was expecting God to move without any evidence. Incredible faith when there's a dead calm sea. Expecting. We know the reverse, don't we, of Jesus, where the storms are blowing and the winds washing the boat. And he says, be still. There's a calm. Faith is of utmost importance. Faith in Christ brings salvation. Faith in Christ brings strength, security. And without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please our great and wonderful God. Nothing moves the heart of God more than when someone comes to know Jesus Christ. And the scriptures tell us when someone comes, there's wonderful rejoicing in heaven. And I'm looking forward to one day being part of that crowd, knowing that someone's come to know Jesus and we're cheering them on. But having said all that, I want to, the time that I've got left, I want to address what I might call the taboo subject. Is it okay for a Christian to have doubts? See, doubting is a very common experience among Christians. If you've never doubted anything, it may mean that you've never thought seriously about anything. Anyone here say they've never doubted? Good. Good. We're in good company. The only way to live a doubt-free life is never to use your mind to question anything in life. And I want to say this very, very clearly. It's okay for Christians to not only have doubt, but to express doubt. It's okay to say to another person, I have some doubts about that. I'm struggling to believe that. Because in that struggle and in that expression of doubt, there's the opportunity for faith either to grow or be born. Doubting doesn't mean that our faith stops. It means that we're trying to understand our faith at a deeper level. Rather than feeling ashamed at having a few doubts, we should allow those times to take us deeper into the faith. And I want to openly confess this morning that I've been ordained this year, 30 years this year. And throughout those years, I've had more than one, I've had many times of doubt. And doubt in my call to ministry. And usually those doubts come when things are getting tough. Things aren't going well in the parish, or you've got a little group of people who want to shoot you down and get rid of you, that sort of thing. And it's pretty hard to go to others and say, hey, is it okay to doubt my call? And so I went to several Methodist ministers, because in the Uniting Church, as you would well know, Methodism became part of the Uniting Church. And I never found one who said to me, the doubts that you have are okay. They're natural. It's not a bad thing. What they all said, and I think old Methodist ministers were doctrinated in it, you've been called, now get on with the work. And that's what I heard. Forget the doubt, just get on with the work that God's called you to. Well, that sounded good, but it didn't do too much for me. And so I bottled that up, not game enough to speak that out. And we spent some wonderful times in Clare, and on one winter's day, I was sitting up, if you know Clare, right up on the hill. The Anglicans think they're higher than anyone else. They built on the hill in Clare this church and manse and or rectory. Incredible place. And I went up there one day to have a coffee with Father Roy Todd. And Roy and I are great buddies. And we were sitting by the fire, freezing cold day, just having a little port and a coffee. And I, you know, just got up the courage to say to Roy, Roy, do you ever doubt your call? I can't say exactly what he said, but he said, of course I do, don't you? And oh, the relief that came, the freedom that I, you know, almost like being set free again, that here was a man willing to say to me, yeah, I have doubts about my call every day, all the time. I thought, well, gee, I'm not that bad. I have them occasionally, but it just helped me so much to know that there was a person there, someone else who had doubts. And I suspect there are many people who have doubts about the faith who are unwilling to express them. See, honest doubt seeks to know. Honest doubt seeks to understand. Honest doubt wants to know more about God, wants to experience him at a deeper level in new ways. Honest doubt leads us to a place of trust, trusting God. None of us have God all figured out. If you have, come and have a coffee with me. If we've got God all figured out, we might be God. And it's good that we don't. We don't know. God's ways and God's thoughts are not like our ways and our thoughts. They're different. He remains way, way outside of our control. I've often had the conversation with people about the weather. Graham wants, like last weekend, what did you desire? Lovely day for a wedding. No rain, right? But then over here, a farmer's saying to God, I need rain, you know? Now, if we were in control, the farmer would be switching the rain in and these guys would be turning the tap off, saying no. But God gives us what we need. And you were blessed with the rain-free day. Now, I can't say that didn't happen the next day or the day after or after that. When we think that we've got God all figured out, he breaks out of that box that we've put him in. And that's one of the exciting things about God. He's too big for any box that we might fill. None of us hold all the truth. We can get into heaven without having all the right beliefs, but we can't get there without a heart for God. Believing in all the right things will not get us into the kingdom of heaven. There's a place for questions. It's okay to struggle with God. We'll never have all the answers. You know, if you're searching for all the answers, relax, you'll never have them. God wants us to struggle with Him as we seek answers to important questions. And I believe that God's pleased with people when they exercise faith and struggle with the doubts that arise out of that. I want to be a person who believes God for great things. And Graham, I don't know where the people of God in this place are at as far as building is concerned, but I'm holding to what I believe, the faith in God, that's going to happen. Don't know when, but it's going to happen. Even though I can't see it, it's going to happen. Sometimes our hearts will be empty. Sometimes our head will be empty, because truth experienced through faith is as much thought as intellect. The two go hand in hand. No, we need faith, but we need intellect. The great Christian author Henry Nguyen once said this: "So I'm praying while not knowing how to pray." It's a good statement of faith, isn't it? "I'm resting while feeling restless. I'm at peace while tempted. I'm safe while still anxious. I'm surrounded by a cloud of light while still in darkness." While still doubting. As long as we're in this world, we'll always live in the tension between faith and despair. But it's our love for God which allows us to outlive our doubts. The heart of faith is a question of the character of God. And for many people, it's not a matter of whether or not to believe in God, but what kind of God do we believe in? Will we believe in a God who wants to be near us, who has our best interests at heart? Or will we believe in a God who plays games with us and is ultimately cruel and uncaring? And that's how some people see God. Will we believe in a God who stands beside us when we're in trouble? Or will we believe in a God who is so far distant he can't possibly relate to the situation we're in? What kind of God do we place our faith in? What kind of God, let me make it personal, do I, and what kind of God do you place your faith in? We've always been upheld by the grace of God. God's never out of his depth. And perhaps God wants us to depend on him more and more as we grow in our faith and offer him our doubts. Next time you have some doubts, I hope you remember, it's okay. It's okay. Remember that in the Bible there are many, many people, if not all people, have struggled at times with their life, in their lives, with faith and doubt. And we trust our great God to lead us through our doubts and into the depth of faith that's beyond our understanding. Trust God. Yes, the gentleman's not here. But I will share this. I saw a guy this morning that I know from other places and doesn't come here often. He said, "What are you preaching on this morning?" I said, "Well, faith and doubt are the two main areas." And he shared with me that he's filled at times with fear. And we were able to talk about that a little bit. But maybe this morning there's things that you doubt, things that you doubt God can even understand, or things that you doubt that God can fix or bring comfort or peace or whatever it may be. Don't leave this place this morning without offering those doubts or difficulties to God and asking him to bring love and joy and peace. Let's pray. Father God, your word tells us that faith is the size of a mustard seed, and that size mustard seed can move mountains. Father, grant us a mustard seed faith when we're filled with doubt and question our faith, we ask for the comfort and the reassurance of the Holy Spirit to remind us that in the midst of our doubting, we have an opportunity to grow. We have an opportunity to draw closer to you. And Father, may it be whenever anyone expresses doubt, we never put them down. We assure them that doubt can be a good thing that will lead to a deeper faith in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you've fulfilled the promises that you've made to us, and today we claim the promise that you'll never ever leave us nor forsake us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Saviour. Amen.